This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. Today we're speaking with Marcy Kiever of Friends of the Earth. And Friends of the Earth has filed a petition with the EPA to look into the status of air quality regulation, especially with continental lead. And, of course, that has to do with avgas. Marcy, if you could update us on where Friends of the Earth is with this, particularly the petition aspect of it. I think a lot of us are under the misconception that Friends has already filed a lawsuit, but that's not the case.
No, that isn't the case. Friends of the Earth has filed what's known generally as an administrative petition with the Environmental Protection Agency because of our concern about airborne lead emissions in the U.S., specifically from avgas emissions from municipal airports and avgas from smaller planes. We have data from 2005 that shows that approximately half of the airborne lead emissions in the U.S., about 500 tons per year, come from avgas emissions from the fuel used in the smaller airplanes.
Now, the petition essentially, as I understand it, asks EPA to basically enforce the clean air laws that are already on the books. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. And you know, our concern is because lead, when it gets into the body, has an extreme broad range of adverse health effects, ranging from damage to the central nervous system, kidney damage, immune system damage. Children are particularly vulnerable to lead exposure. You know, their bodies are still developing. And so because while we have reduced lead emissions in this country, especially because most people are aware we phased out leaded automobile gasoline, the concern is that there are still significant lead emissions in this country, including from avgas. And we are asking EPA to make a finding that these lead emissions are actually a danger to public health or an endangerment finding, which EPA has the ability to do.
At last week's Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association meeting in Long Beach, we heard from Glenn Passavant, who's with the EPA, who gave a decidedly mixed message on the finding of endangerment. At one point, he said that it's not a foregone conclusion, and I would expect him to say that because they also have to collect the data first. But I got the impression also that EPA really doesn't know which way it's going to go with the process here. And what would you expect to happen with regard to getting to the finding of endangerment one way or the other?
Well, a lawsuit may have to be filed, whether that's from Friends of the Earth or others. It remains to be seen. We filed our petition, our administrative petition, in 2006. And it's been 4 years since EPA's had to actually make an endangerment finding like we requested. They have issued a number of documents, most specifically the Advance Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or an ANPR, that came out earlier this year, continuing to gather more information. And while we appreciate that and think there should be a public process, and those kind of things raise the profile of this issue specifically, we still think that EPA hasn't gone far enough because they clearly show, they have clear data that lead is a serious problem for public health.
Now, the other aspect of this is the emerging national air quality standards.
And, that's right.
That's an entirely separate issue from the Friends of the Earth petition. Now, you mentioned that there are some new developments in that area as far as non-attainment for some areas.
That's right. It looks like last week EPA just issued its first list. I think it's an initial list. They may. It looks like they will be following up with more places in the country that are designated as non-attainment for lead, so they are exceeding the federal standards. Those national ambient air quality standards. And at this point, they've listed a partial count, 17 partial counties in the country. And I took a look at all of those counties, and it looks like 14 of them have municipal airports where clearly have lead emissions, airborne lead emissions from avgas. I think three counties in Missouri are the exception. But again, 14 of those places that have been listed as non-attainment for lead by EPA have municipal airports where avgas is used.
Now, does that mean that the EPA will ask the states to put those on the monitoring list?
Well, I think these are that's definitely a potential, because what the states will then have to do is develop a state implementation plan, or a SIP, that brings those areas into attainment. So the data came from air quality monitoring from past 2 years. I think it's 2007 to 2009, but we do have other EPA data that lists clearly lists places that are considered large emitters, or even extremely large emitters of lead. One example I have from Florida is that there are, looks like, I think 12 large emitters of lead. That's 2001 to 10,000 pounds of airborne lead emissions a year. Eight of those 12 are municipal airports, and the other four are other large industries. So those monitoring and figuring out how to get those lead emissions reduced is going to be a big part of the air quality standards federally.
So would the EPA in this case kind of kick it down to the states to enforce on this?
Likely. I mean, this is, EPA has the ability to set the standards, but they've delegated in most places to the states and are going to be pushing them to get into attainment, because the states are the ones that permit most of these large sources of emissions. And in many cases, it is going to be up to the state to get into attainment, and that's just the way EPA works.
Is there good data that suggests that the airports are the only sources, the point sources of lead in those areas?
Well, there is a map on the Natural Resources Defense Council website that shows you those sources. There are lots of smaller emitters of lead, and there are also even larger emitters of lead. The kind of large level, the example I gave from Florida, the other the other emitters are things like power plants and large industry sources, but municipal airports are on par with things like power plants and considered large emitters.
Looking ahead here towards a replacement, a potential unleaded replacement for avgas, in our conversations in the past, you said that Friends of the Earth is aware of some of these, or is aware of the efforts, but what's your notion on cost? If these things cost more than the traditional leaded avgas, what's Friends' view of that?
Well, what we're asking EPA to do is to make an endangerment finding because of the concerns regarding lead emissions. What then results from that is both an environmental review and an economic review of possible ways to reduce lead emissions. And, those, in many cases, what EPA does drives research, drives that kind of R&D to actually get possible products on the market. I know it gives some certainty to folks who are putting putting money into that kind of research and new products, but at the same time, what EPA has to do generates that public process so they can find out what products are out there, where there is a need, and really kind of drive the market towards replacements that make sense both from an environmental perspective and from an economic perspective.
Once the finding of endangerment has happened, if the EPA makes the determination and proceeds with whatever kind of regulation it deems appropriate, and let's say that the replacement avgas costs $3 more a gallon, does that then become EPA's responsibility? You're not in a position at that point to negotiate, are you?
No. I mean, we are, we're not the regulatory authority. What we're asking EPA to do as the regulatory authority is to move forward and to put out publicly, once they do make an endangerment finding, which we think is warranted, move forward on an actual emission standard, which would, again, be a part of a whole public process that people could weigh in and comment on, clearly in the public view, so people could be ready for that. Even with the non-attainment air quality standards, it gives the states, I think, until 2015 to come into attainment. And, you know, they have to get their state implementation plans together, but there always is a timeline and a lead time, because even if EPA found endangerment, it wouldn't mean getting rid of avgas immediately. You have to have a process in place, and it wouldn't shut down the industry, and the public and the industry will have a chance to participate in any process they have moving forward.
Last question, what do you think happens next in the short term?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this non-attainment designations around the country. And like I said, most of those areas, 14, have municipal airports, and with lead and avgas being such a large source, we'll see what kind of activities the states have to take to try to reduce lead emissions, including from airports and from avgas. And then really the determination about what to do next, since EPA does have so much information that lead in aviation fuel is such a problem, you know, to determine how both we and EPA is going to move forward is really the next determination when it comes to aviation fuel.
Okay, Marcy. Well, thanks very much for the update.
Thanks, Paul. Very much appreciate it. And if people need information, they can go to our website at foe.org.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Paul.
We've been speaking with Marcy Kiever of Friends of the Earth, and you can find out more on avweb.com. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.